5 New Mexico Lottery Holiday Scratchers are now on sale, totaling more than $4 million in prizes. You'll love $100,000 Holiday Countdown. It's a gigantic ticket with a game for every day in December. You must be at least 18 to play. Please play responsibly.
Add New Mexico Lottery games to this week's shopping list for your chance to win groceries for a year, valued at $10,000. Get details and enter eligible games in My Rewards at nmlottery.com. Enter by October 31st.
Blog Talk Radio.
God bless the USA, indeed. I want to welcome you all here this evening to Mag Monday. I am your host, Leander Grace. We are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert, and I want to say good evening to you all and a hearty hello to our Space Force Rangers who might be listening in, going through the training to do the one thing, and a great big shout-out to all you Patriots listening in. Got some maggots, maybe a couple of Anons, some other folks perhaps, and a great big shout-out and a thank you. So welcome to Mag Monday here on NatsRim Network. It's October 15th, 2018, and we are broadcasting live, as I said, from the high mountain desert. Guys, I want to tell you, I had one too many cups of coffee, so if we go through this first segment and your hair's blown back, don't say I didn't warn you. I had a little bit too much coffee. We're going to try to slow down on purpose here, but we got a lot to get to also, so I'm very excited about the program. So 50-50 caffeine, 50-50 excitement, you know, that's sometimes what it takes to get the job done, but it's good to be back with you here tonight. As we continue to hold this space of peace, love, and grace in solidarity of mission, as the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. Folks, I'm telling you, it's a global thing. We've gone global. We've gone global, and we might get back in another episode, but I want to tell you, we might even get back to the last segment. I'm excited about some things because it is a very exciting time to be alive and aware and awake and about this business of this one thing. And we'll talk about it all. We'll bring some physical and spiritual stuff. We're going to talk about some scriptural and secular, some historical and hysterical, politically mundane. We'll point out the non sequiturs, but we bring a light to shine into that dark place and maybe into the faces of some of your favorites, because we don't hold much back, and I'm all about naming names, as my brother Paul the Apostle did back in the day. Remember, too, Patriots, as you listen to the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, we love you too. Question everything. I am not part of the mainstream media. Don't take me at my word. Research what you hear tonight so you can own your own experience. It is a very big picture thing, folks, and that's what we hope to do here on Vagamundi and the NatsRim Network. We bring some of the other programs also. But tonight we're going to be talking about America the Beautiful. I got a smile on my face just saying it. So I want to say that again. America the Beautiful. I think it's amazing. Now, what we're also going to talk about is what it was like, what happened, what it's like now in America, and about making the dream our reality. Making the dream, the American dream, our reality. And do our children have the same dream? Did we pass it on? That's a question we're gonna kind of talk about as we move forward, because we do live in a great nation, folks. A lot of folks, some folks, actually quite a few folks, over 1,000 points of turbidity per location, I believe. Some have tried to change what we have. We, the sovereign people of the sovereign nation, we stand in the way of what the globalists want. What the globalists want is to rule the whole world. And that means you too. But we're not going to talk about the globalists tonight. We are going to talk about America the Beautiful. And I do want to say thank you, America the Beautiful, because you do make up about 86% of my listening audience. And then, of course, the United Kingdom comes in at a 7%. We've got some Canada, Germany, and we're even as far as Nigeria going on with that. We're waiting to see if some of the Middle East can peek their head in and listen in with us and see what's going on, get a little hint and a little listen up, guys. And just a reminder for you all as well, you live listeners, you rock, you pod people, we love you too. Chat room, you're our tree people. Just a little reminder, make sure you vote November 6th. Let's do this. Let's make this happen. And if I had my way about it, you'd vote red. We need the red wave to ensure our justice system remains intact, although it seems as though our president is taking care of that even as we speak. So much is riding on this election, folks, and I'm hoping that by the end of this broadcast and these series, we hope to wrap them up before Election Day. We hope to point out some things, maybe bring it to the fore. There is a campaign. It's called Walk Away. Brandon Straka, who I've made contact with on one of the social media things. I've invited him to come forward on the broadcast. Yeah, I'm putting him on the spot just in case he decides to listen. Brandon, come on over and, you know, be a guest here, Holistic Truth or something. Tell us about the Walk Away movement, the Walk Away March that's coming up. I believe it's the 26th and the 27th. That's going to be Friday and Saturday, October 26th and 27th. It's to walk away. And walk away from what? Walk away from what the Democratic Party has become. What the Democratic Party has become. Now, the reason that I say it like that, and as I say it, I wanted to give you guys a visual. I've got a straw in my hand because I'm about to take a drink. It's the least slurpiest way that I know. And as I'm saying this, my straw is actually dancing across the room. And as those who know who I talk, you know that my hands are much involved, even when I'm on air. It's just that's kind of one of the reasons I don't go video, because my hands are everywhere and you guys would be watching my hands. But it's time. And this broadcast is based on a way of looking at things that I have found to be helpful in several different areas of recovery, in several different modes, where if it's a therapy or whether it's a group or whether it's a you know, some incorporated type of stuff. There's a way to look at things, and there's a way to talk about things, and although I got some of my public speaking skills somewhere else, I got my truth skills, you know, talking about what it was like, what happened, what it's like now. And I think because I have no other way, no other place to start to speak about these things, I think that's the easiest way to relay them. And I do want you to know that at the end of the program, towards the end of the program, we will be opening up the phone lines, and I want to invite you guys to join me on air, add your 2 cents, 20 cents if you got it. And I'm not talking about change. I'm talking about your wisdom. You know, if you want to go ahead and send us some change, that wouldn't be too bad either. We are 100% listener-supported, and for your support, we are grateful. We are not a 501c3 yet, so your donations are not tax-deductible. But if you're finding value in the broadcast or the podcast, pod people, you know how we feel about you. And would like us to continue, feel free to drop a couple ducats in the bucket with our PayPal account. And we have our official PayPal account address going for the Natsarim Network. That is natsarimnetwork@protonmail.com. Now, it gets you to the same place, but it's actually a way to separate, you know, to do things. There you have it. So it is our business account that we've got set up there. For those of you who want to send us some cashy stuff right away, we won't say no to it. We'll get our web page up and going. Having a little bit of thing with time, there's a lot of information coming very quickly and going boom, 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 boom all week long, being about the business of the one thing, so we don't have a lot of time sometimes to get some of the back door or backstage or, you know, the housekeeping things taken care of on this end, but we are forging ahead, and we do thank you for your support. We're keeping our budget just around 100 ducats or less. That should, just around the 100 ducat mark a month, should get us doing everything smoothly that we need to do on air and allow me the ability to have accountability and all those things that are necessary. Anything more is really too much for me to keep track of, guys. I just, you know, we're doing this, and I don't have someone on hand to take care of that, so we're going to keep it small and manageable. In the meantime, we are sprouting back up there or getting up and running, and we will grow where we are led and able. We will be opening up the phone lines, as I said, later on. We want to hear from you. If you've had something to say and you've watched on the YouTubes and you've been able to chat and all this and you want to have your voice heard and you want to have a discussion on air, if we can get the, you know, discussing, not the cussing, you know, civilized conversation, left side, right side, doesn't matter. You know, we're all in this together. Where we go one, we go all. Doesn't matter which way you vote, it's going to affect us all. And so we just want to remind you of that. I'm really glad that the little EMS went out real nice and great, and everything seems to be in working order as far as everybody's communication goes. That's that shout out and a thank you. But we have work that still needs to get done. We have things that still need to be talked about. There are individuals that still need to be accounted for. But we're in the middle of the Hatch Act, and we're in the middle of a time frame for no political maneuvering, and there's certain things that we can and cannot do during this time frame. And so, you know, everything kind of hinges on the election for us to go forward and continuing to do the things in a large, big way. Let's talk about a little bit of the headlines, guys. As everybody knows, Miss Elizabeth Warren has about, I'd say, a megabyte removed. Isn't that 1024? A megabyte removed from lineage, 10th generation. I'm not going to make fun of the woman, although I do want to. I know better than to do that. It's just not somewhere that I want to hang out, and I'll have some harsh words to say, but now that the rubber meets the road, we need to take a look at that. You know, I from the, my lineage is from the Oki area, and about four generations, three and a half-ish, it's kind of hard, you know, got some of the Cherokee, and I believe Choctaw, if I can believe the family lore. But it's not enough to stand up and say, hey, because I am more Caucasian from the Caucasus. That's what Caucasian comes from. It doesn't just mean white. It's a region. It's a region up in, you know, up where Russia is right now. It's the Caucasus. And that's where they get the word Caucasian. I guess that's where all the white folks used to hang. I don't know. I'm just guessing and throwing it out there as a joke. But here's the thing. You know, we talked last program. You're not special. Not special. And affirmative action that was set up to help folks was used fraudulently with a wink and a nod. And to this day, she's trying to protect it. And that's very, very disheartening. That's dishonest. Can we call her out, please, people, red or blue? A lie is a lie no matter who says it. Fraud is fraud no matter who commits it. And if we're going to have justice for all, when do we start? When do we start? So, Elizabeth Warren, now this is a little funny, and I'm going to share it just because somebody else did, and I think it's great. Elizabeth Warren is 0.009756% Native, evidently. There's a chance. But she's 100% not president. 100% not president. She's running for senator. How can she be successful in the Senate and work side by side by a duly elected president if she's dogging him all the time? You say, well, Trump dogs her. Trump's calling out a truth. And as Tommy Lauren says, let me get this straight. This is a quote from Tommy Lauren. She's a conservative pundit. She also has her own program. I don't have all of her historical information. I'll go ahead and make sure I get some of that so that I don't leave her short and insult her. But she's the new, young, up-and-coming kind of gal, and she says, let me get this straight. It's okay to pretend you're a Native American to receive perks and benefits, but it's racist to point out the fraud using Native American heritage for perks and benefits. And then she has a welcome to the loony left. Now, understand, guys, that's insane. That's a loony left. That's loony. And what we have to do, whether you're red or blue, it doesn't matter to me. I really am not, I want you to vote red because, you know, we need to support this stuff, the good stuff. But even if you decide that you want to, you know, not, and you're Democrat, you do that. But let's not tear each other up, and let's hold every leader, blue or red, responsible for the things that have gone on now that we have a president who can't be bought and has shown people that he will defend the Constitution of the United States, which is why the vets love him. He's honoring the oath that we all took, and it's not always pretty. Following the rules does not always look neat. It doesn't always look pretty. It's not always fun. It's not always comfortable, but it's what we do because we claim ourselves to be civilized. We're here on this continent. These are the rules. And the next time I hear some young whippersnapper, now this is where I come from, I'm old school. Next time I hear some young whippersnapper popping up and say, you know, I didn't vote for this Constitution, I'm going to spank them in the butt. I don't care how old they are. I'm going to turn right over. Okay, you know I'm not going to do that, but I want to. That's some big talk. That's what I want to be able to do. People were not teaching. We're not remembering our own rules, and we're certainly not holding ourselves and others responsible for it, but I do get ahead of myself. Miss Clinton, Miss Hillary Rodham Clinton, I believe has made a grave error in that she says that Bill's case was not an abuse of power between he and Monica Lewinsky, the 22-year-old intern. Anybody have a 22-year-old daughter? I used to. I'm not that age anymore. No. You put a 22-year-old in the middle of the White House, there's a power play. Does not need to be covert. It is understood. It doesn't need to be overt. It is understood and it is covert. Everybody that walks into that Oval Office knows who's the boss. And it's not Hillary Rodham Clinton right now. And I'm very glad. And yes, that was a shot. And no, I won't apologize because she has the audacity to say that Bill's case is special, that his womanizing is special. And Colin Powell had a little special term he used. I'm not using it on this program, although I did, if you will notice, up the rating to PG-13 for this broadcast. And it's not because I plan on letting slur a whole bunch of words that are not acceptable in public, because the topics that we need to talk about tonight as adults and members of this society are not meant for young ears. You know, the parents will have to expressly allow. Well, we're going to have an adult conversation, or at least I'm going to have an adult conversation. If I'm here all by myself, well, I've talked to myself before. I think we can still get the topic out. But we've made some grave errors. America, the beautiful. But look at the headlines. We're screaming at each other. We've got, what's his guy, the one who does the Saturday Night Live impersonation. Any other day I'd remember it, but I think he's a bridge kid. No, he's not a bridge. Anyway, the Saturday Night Live guy, he does the Trump thing. I really cannot. Baldwin. Yeah, Mr. Alec Baldwin. Thank you. That was my little puppy reminded me. I don't know how that happened, but end of view, and here comes the memory. But Alec Baldwin had the audacity to say they needed to overthrow this government that Trump is running. Now, he did make the statement that it needs to be done legally and that the thing, but guys, they're actually talking about overthrowing. Do you not like the way the economy's going? Do you not like the fact that we have good relationships going on, despite what the headline would like you to say? Because I'll tell you what, a lot of the things that I hear, I talk to people across the pond. I talk to people in other countries. And what our mainstream media is reporting is not what the people on the street there in their own country are saying. And I want to tell you that they have a lot more intimate knowledge of what's going on the streets around them than we ever thought we could. And I did have a shout out to one of my friends in the UK to see if that mate can join me here on air. We'll see if that goes on as well. I want him to bring some information to the fore. Cut through some of the chase here. You know, Britain First is trying to stand up for their country, trying to stand up for the UK and the Brits. And they're being hailed as a terrorist group, and they're not. And they're not any more part of a terrorist group than I am. So no, that's not going to happen. So So we need to start thinking for ourselves. And when the mainstream media says boo, we need to go to our friends and say boo hoo. What are they talking about? And check the things that they're saying, not just the stuff from citizen journalists, of course those things as well, but also the things from the mainstream media. Check them out. Otherwise, you are going into a battle completely unarmed with truth. You're unarmed. You don't have all the facts. And we're fighting one another through ignorance. What does the scripture say? My people are perishing for lack of knowledge. What's the difference in the groceries here? We're killing each other over a lack of knowledge, and that's what we're trying to do on the program and other programs like this, is bring out to the front those things that we can to the public to let you know what's going on. We are going to give a shout out to Paul Allen. He passed away today. We got word of that. He was a Microsoft co-founder, worked side by side with Bill Gates. The other headline is Stormy Daniels, her case. She's going to have to pay Trump's lawyers his legal fees. Before all you feminazis get up in arms and say, that's not fair, la, 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 la. She lost. She was used. She knew she was used. There was no honeypot. If there was a honeypot, if he had done what they said, there would be a picture, because it would have been a trap. And our president is too smart to fall into the traps, because I don't believe that his appetites are nearly what they said they are. Now, that's my little personal thing. I have no business even pondering on it, but I'm going by the history and what I've seen. And I've looked deeply, and I've thought from the other side of the argument until I was convinced that I'm now on the correct side of the argument, because I know what I was doing in the 80s. I know what I was doing in the 90s. Never mind what I was doing in the 2000s, that just stays there. No, I'm just teasing. You know, we all have things. We all have things that we just don't necessarily want aired, because when our privacy is invaded, it can be twisted into anything on hearsay. And we've seen it over and over and over again. That's the headline stuff. Now, the one thing I want us to look at is the lawyer, the creepy porn lawyer. He used her. I think she's just now getting that. It's sad. There's no joy in this. There may be some little underhanded celebrations. Yes, yeah, I got her. You know, but there's no joy in that. It was one of the saddest things I've ever... It's been sad for a little while. And it's not the president who's bringing the sadness. It's the resistance to the duly elected one in office. Trump is not necessarily... Well, he actually, in my lifetime, he seems to be pretty decent. I mean, I haven't seen any president make promises and keep promises. I haven't seen it. And I think because we haven't seen it, that's why the midterms always go back. Remember when we elected Bush? Well, we didn't like the way he was doing stuff. Bush Jr., Bush Sr., but pick president, any president. By the time they got 2 years in, we didn't like anything they had to do, so we elected the other side to balance it out. That's the beauty of our system. There's balance. If it's used properly. But if we like the way things are going, who says we have to do what we've had to do in the past just to keep someone from running riot and roughshod over us? Or if we got a good president in and the bad guys didn't like it, then they rushed their candidates to the midterms. Yeah, we're going to have to really look at some things. Really, really look at some things. And we will tonight. We're going to take a look at what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. Now that we've done through all the stuff, we got through the headlines mostly, we will be talking about Saudi Arabia on the other side. In fact, nope, I want to go ahead and take care of all the headlines now. So if we have to go a little long, then that's what we're going to do. Let me clear my throat. So Saudi Arabia has come up in the headlines. Yeah, that's a tough one, folks. But I want to put something forth. We have Saudi Arabia involved, we have Turkey involved, and we have the United States involved. Now, the last thing that I remember that happened in Saudi Arabia, now, of course, there's time and other things have occurred, but I'm saying the big things, the signposts, if you will, that have occurred over in Saudi Arabia is we had a great big saber dance over there with our president and their king. They rolled out a great big old red carpet for him and all the rest. I want us to remember that. And then we have Secretary Pompeo dropping everything and going over there in a moment's notice. Saudi king said, wasn't us. So it must be important. And I want us to think about this, guys. If we know that there is something going on behind us, we're going to go a little long on the break because I think this is important. If there's something going on and we know it, and we know things are going well, and all of a sudden something like this is coming up, we know, just as Mr. Baldwin said, they want power back. They said that over and over. You know, Ms. Clinton herself has said, you know, we won't stop resisting until we have power back, you know, because someone in power is trying to destroy the way of life. Yes, because they wanted to take us someplace that we don't belong. And if bad actors are bad actors, and they are in fear of being afraid, and as we've discussed on other parts of the program, other portions of the program and other programs from the Action Network, if they are amoralistic and their care is their power and the pressure is from their higher-ups, they'll probably stop at nothing. I mean, look what they've done with Michael and Florence. We all know those were generated hurricanes. If they may have started one way, but they were accelerated overnight. They killed a lot. You know, they destroyed. And the body count's going up. The blood's on their hands, the weather modifiers. They know their time is short. And I think this is what they keep asking.
Shall we play a game?
Yeah. For those of you who are familiar with that 80s film, War Games, with Matthew Broderick.
Shall we play a game?
We don't want to play that, but they do. And one of the reasons why, and we're just going to talk about it. I guess we're going to talk about what it's like now. I don't know. We're just going to go with the way it goes, guys. This is our response.
How about a nice game of chess?
We'll be back on the other side.
They call us deplorable, and we love the name. They got the bodies in the dirt and need someone to blame. Got a pension for greed and money to spare. They put the dollars in the coffers and the lies in the air. Well, we go one, we go all. I won't push you down, you won't let me fall. One day for sure we will stand tall. Well, we go one. We go all. We are the patriots. Trust the plan, because we have it all, and the fate is in our hands. Had a reason to fool us, but we didn't take the bait. They want to take us to hell, but we got guns in the cage. Our knowledge is power, they're running for the hills. If the law don't get them, then we the people will. We go one, we go all. I won't push you down, you won't let me fall. One day for sure we will stand tall. When we go one, we we go all.
Every day from the lakes of Minnesota and et cetera, and all of that. America the beautiful. That's our topic tonight. Didn't sound real beautiful before we went to the break. Those are the headlines. We didn't get here overnight. I want to say a big old shout out to Flycatch in the flat flat room. Yeah, you got Flycatch in the chat room. I want to say thank you for joining us. And he's got a headline. I'm going to go ahead and read his stuff here in just a minute. We're going to talk about what it was like. What it was like in my mind, growing up in the United States of America. In my mind, it's always been about the American dream. It's always been about do your best, work hard. Honest work, honest pay, pay your taxes, vote, don't do people wrong. And, of course, then I, you know, served as well, so I am a veteran, U.S. veteran. And you have a family, and you do all that. You get an education, you have a family, you grow up. And it was hard to do all that. I mean, it was kind of autopilot. We were kind of pre-programmed for that as Americans. Yep, we're pre-programmed as that as Americans by the time we get to the third and the fourth generation and we get this epigenetic DNA marker or genetic epigenetics. Oh, we're going to talk about a lot, but that's for Holistic Truth on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Join us then. But my grandparents instilled upon me, in me, the American dream. And even my parents' generation did. Because I watched TV and saw how great it was. There were things that I didn't know, though. And there were things that I didn't know because my parents didn't realize. And my parents didn't realize because they didn't listen to my grandparents. That's kind of the way that went. Right? That's kind of a true story. Now, that's not a knock on my parents. That's just a fact of reality, whether we like it to be that way or not. So something happened. And Flycatch is right on it. And I'm going to get up to that, Flycatch. I'm going to put that in there because you hit the bullet as soon as you said it. I texted him back and said, well, absolutely, we're on the same page. And I'm thinking, you know, there were two differences. What was the difference between my grandparents' generation and my parents' generation? Let's look back. Let's do this. Because we got to see what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. America the Beautiful. So with my grandparents, the way they describe it, they had it tough. They were on the farm. The more kids, the better to do the work. There was, well, how is it Grandma put? There was 13 of them and 14 or 15 if they'd all lived or something like that. There were a lot of kids, a lot of great aunts and uncles, lots of them. Of course, you know, propagate and fill the earth. So it was a big clan up there in the north. And they, you know, gardened, did things. Grandma did stuff. She raised her children, then went to work. And then she worked in the school right there, kept that eye on the kids, in theory. But there were two things that my parents' generation had to deal with that my grandparents' generation did not have to deal with. Two things. One of them was compulsory education. I got you, Flycatch. I caught you right there. There it is. Is compulsory education. And the second thing is television. So we have a, as Flycatch puts it, a state-controlled education system, and we have programming. Now, at first, they could only get, you know, only three stations, plus a little PBS thrown in. Then every once in a while, if you got the right rabbit ears and the weather front was right and you hold hold your chin just right, you can maybe get something out of Chicago from time to time when we were on analog, right, and the signals would bounce off the clouds rather than cut through them. Or bounce back, rather. I'm talking about frequency different, pardon me, different program. So, and then we've got here, now guys, I'm going to go ahead and read this in the chat room, and I'm going to have a, you know, I don't necessarily see on the same, but we're on the same page, Flycatch, because what Flycatch says here is most liberals, now guys, I want you to hear this the way it's intended with love. Most liberals suffer from mental disorders and project it upon others. It's a one-way street with them, and believe it is their way or none at all. And I want to tell you that that is actually a propensity for all of us to do, to project on. And it becomes a habit to not do, you know, it has to become an on-purpose habit. And why is that? Why does it become a habit for us? And I'm going to own it too. I'm not just going to push it on liberals, no, even though it's a lot of fun. It's the corrupt liberal leadership, in my view, and then people are trusting their corrupt leader, you know, leadership, just like a dysfunctional family. So, and we become attached to them. So we've covered that on other broadcasts. But we all have, to a degree, suffered from this mental disorder of compromising what we know is right for what we think is convenient. Let me say that again. Compromising what we know is right for what we think is convenient. And it doesn't necessarily matter what the convenience looks like. Sometimes it's a convenient place to put our children. Sometimes it's a convenient place for them to learn while we work. Sometimes it's a convenience, fill in the blank. But we've used school as a convenience. Now, there was more than one occasion I heard stories, I heard family tales, more than one occasion that my grandmother went ahead and gave some administration a piece of their mind. And there was more than one occasion that my mother also tended to give the administration a piece of her mind. Now, sometimes I was the one that was wrong, but she didn't need to know that, right? I was a kid. I saw what I witnessed and how I processed that as a child, watching my teachers have authority over me and then my mother fight them, and then other things occur, of course. It seemed as though nobody had authority. Nobody had authority. Worst thing that was going to happen to me in the school that I was in when I got into a situation. I had to go sit in the principal's office. I had to go sit in the office. So nobody told me to stay there. So I'd go to the office, I'd sit there for about 5 minutes, and then I'd come back to class. And no one ever checked whether I ever went to the principal's office. So, again, there was no authority. There wasn't enough people in the school to watch all the children. There wasn't enough teachers per child so that the children could get attention. Scholastically, I didn't seem to require attention, but I required attention in other ways. And there wasn't enough attention. If I had been at home with a loving mother and a loving father in my home and learning, I would have gotten plenty of attention. I would have gotten hugs and smooches and maybe even a whole bunch of high fives, you know, for doing well. But in school, everything was held back. Interactions were held back. All kinds of things were held back. And some of the kids, myself included, needed some of those things a little bit more. So it was a starvation plantation for me emotionally a little bit. I don't mind telling you, I'm over it. I've grown up. But I can look back and I know I can see it. And I can't help but think, okay, so it was absolutely mandatory for my mother to go to school. My grandparents, it was a law. My grandparents did not have the choice to keep her at home. That was in violation of the law. My grandfather was a police officer. That wasn't going to happen. So for 8 hours a day, they were in school. They'd come home, have dinner, do homework, go to bed. Not much has changed, except they have more homework and more emotional competition and less interaction. And we're going to say this, out for everybody to hear, and I stand behind it. Mothers, clothe your daughters. That's it. Put clothes on your female children. The boys that are forced to sit next to them in class are hormonal. Why shouldn't Johnny get an A on his test? Put clothes on your daughters. Send them to school with clothes on. Not almost clothes, not nearly covered, not ho, they'll see that. We can't expect them to act modestly if we don't teach them to advertise modestly. Because what we're teaching them to advertise, people are thinking are for sale in one way or another, or at least available as is. So mothers and daddies, if you don't want boys peeking at your girls' cover up, it's responsible. Fathers, teach your boys not to touch girls, period. When they get into junior high, end of discussion. Now, the reason I say that needs to happen, I believe it needs to happen for a little while, is because our boys are in danger. Our boys are in danger of being accused of something that they had no intention of perpetrating. So they need to keep their hands to themselves, because right now, people are ready to falsely accuse a woman in downtown city, accused a 9-year-old boy of sexual assault who happened to maybe have, maybe not have, rubbed up against her in a crowded area while holding hands with her mother. So keep your boys close to you and have them keep their hands to themselves. And I wouldn't mind having segregated classrooms for a while we make the adjustment. We have to take care of our schools. We have to take care of the hormonal imbalance that leads to confusion and the overexposure of sexual expletives and situations on TV. Who do they follow? What example do we want for them? Are we going to say one thing and then laugh at that seen on TV with them? Is that because they're gonna do what we do, not do what we say? Right? That's what they're gonna do. And then later when they do it, and they're gonna call us and hold us responsible, they'll be right. They'll be right. It's not the school's fault. It's ours. We have to own it. That's part of owning our own experience, owning what we did for it, owning what we put into it. Now, when did this start? Well, the sexual exploitation of our children began in the 60s in school. They called it sex education. Any psychiatrist and any psychologist that is worth their weight of paper that they have hanging on their wall is going to tell you that kids don't care about that crap until you tell them to. By the time they're 4, they stopped it. They stopped miscellaneous. They don't think about it again until 14, when we have our children going to school half naked after being barraged of images of hedonism that we portray as okay, even though we say it's not. The Me Too movement, the Academy Awards, everybody wore something that you didn't have an imagination. You saw what they had. And they're supposed to be representing what? I want to tell you with Stormy Daniels, the power of a stripper. We're going to talk. We're 13. We're PG-13 on this. The only power that a stripper has is she's got something that everybody wants and they don't even get to touch it. That's power. Now, bless her heart, it's what she does. It's not a moral call. She can choose to do as a grown adult what she chooses to do. But that's power. I've got something you want, and you don't even get to touch it. Are we teaching that to our ladies? Are we teaching that to our girls? And as we got Flycatch here, it says it's a war on males of our society, sponsored by Democrats. Well, I would say that the leadership is so corrupt and so dark from the information that I've been able to gather. I would venture to say that some of them might even be Democrats. I wouldn't say all of them. but it doesn't take many to control much. We've proven that in our world history. It does not take many to control much, because power trickles down, freedom trickles up. Power trickles down, control trickles down. So that's what it was like. You know, they had vacations. My grandfather, he worked and he retired and he got a pension until the day he died, which was a long time. And then he got, you know, he was able to retire and he had a pension. And every time those pensioners, the active duty officers got a raise, his pension got a percentage of the raise. That's honor to our officers. Because every day they got, and he was medically retired in hot pursuit. It was a mess. And he got hurt. But he didn't lose his integrity. He didn't lose his integrity. He did not compromise that. So that's what it was like. What happened? We compromised that. We compromised our integrity. And how did they do it? With programs, programming, free for all. I remember one of the most controversial programs when I was growing up, because I loved the person. My mother hated the program. Marlo Thomas loved the doll. Don't know much about her history. Please, nobody who does, don't blow my image of her. But she came out with this album, was Free to Be You and Me, or You and Me. And my mother had a fit and a half, which is kind of out of character. If anyway, she had a fit. It was crazy. She had a fit and a half. And it was incongruent to me why she would. I didn't understand that, because here was Marlo Thomas, and we all loved that girl. But it started the breakdown of what we actually consider concrete morality, and splintering it into situational morality, compromising what we know to be true to make people feel good, feel better about themselves. You know, I want to tell you something. If I break my leg, don't pretend it ain't broken, please. Just don't do that. And if I'm different than you, don't pretend I'm just like you. I'm different for you for a reason. And it is okay for me to be me, and it is okay for you to be you, but there still are concrete moral guidelines. Thank you, Flycat. She's going to ruin my image. She just gave me a link to Marlo Thomas. Love ya. Aren't you great? And then we've got host. My name is Leander Grace. Sorry I didn't introduce myself there. Host, do you realize that sex sells? Yes, sex sells on commercial markets. And that's what's happened. We've lost our north. Have we not lost our center? So how do we do that? Well, started in 1919 Federal Reserve. That's when it started in. They got control of our banks. Then they got control of our leaders. Then they grabbed control of our intelligence and made good use of our military. All the while pretending they were helping and funneling our wealth. And that's what it's like now. It's like Stormy Daniels. It's like Pocahontas. It's like Ellis. It's like Kavanaugh. It's like Ford. That's where we're at. Because we chose to give up our sovereignty of our children and our sovereignty of ourselves. And we got real close to being socialists already. Do you want to go back to that? What it was like, freedom, liberty. People really enjoyed their lives. They got to take vacations. They didn't have to live paycheck to paycheck. They made enough, and things didn't cost so much. And the things that they did buy lasted for a very, very, very long time. Sears and Roebuck is now going out of, is filing for bankruptcy. I hope they don't have to close their doors. I hope they get to rebuild. They're like an American icon. Now, I don't know their history and all of that, and I'm sure that Flycatch can go ahead and come up with a link for me on that too. Sears and Roebuck, guys. I want us to realize that we used to be able to, in this country, order a home from Sears and Roebuck. In the 1950s, they'd come and they delivered in a kit, just like they're offering to do, a brand new idea now. No, we've done it before. Sears and Roebuck delivered homes, mission-style homes that were put together on site. Gorgeous, still standing. Those homes are still standing in some of the older neighborhoods. Some of them are run down. But the mission-style homes are still standing, the ones from Sears and Roebuck. That's how we used to do things in this nation before we had built-in obsolescence and got on this little monkey wheel of buy it, try it, use it, break it, buy it, try it, use it, break it. And how has that transferred to our interpersonal relationships? Do we not now try it, buy it, break it, replace it? Are we doing that to each other? Because it has been my experience that things transfer to all areas of a society. And if we have a disposable things, it doesn't take long before we start seeing each other as disposable. Especially since the ones that we love and adore and all of their finery and glamour in Hollywood, they change it all the time. It's okay. They told us the stories where it makes it moral, and here's a case in point. I want to get this in before we go to the break. One of my favorite actresses is lovely actress. Forget the name. Gosh, it's on the tip of my tongue. Holly? Can't remember. She starred in Copycat. She also starred in one of my favorite series, very raw and very adult. It was called Saving Grace. Holly Hunter? Yeah. And that I liked the program. I liked the theme. I liked the fact that it was real and that it was raw. But here's the issue. I fell in love with that character. I just thought it was great. Now, she didn't act great. That's not the point. That wasn't the point of the movie. But there was a scene in there in which she arrested a child abuser, a beater, hit his kid. And she knew that he was going to get free on a technicality. And so she helped him down the stairs and ended up breaking his arm, the character did. And showing him what it felt like to be helpless and all of those things. And it was at that moment that I realized that I had become empathically and compassionately in the same boat as the one who was doing wrong. And that was our hero, Grace. She was wrong. But I found myself cheering for her and finding great satisfaction because this perp was going to fill in the blank, right? So when I realized that my mind was being changed from seeing what was right is wrong and what is wrong is right, I had to really start filtering those things that I saw on TV. It doesn't take much amidst images, amidst storytelling, amidst our favorites, for us to, as humans, in the condition that we're in this nation, being through what we've been through, to compromise for comfort, for satisfaction, for the easy fix. And we've done it. They got us to do it in several different ways. And we will talk about those several different ways on the other side of the break. Now, we still have Flycatch in the chat room. We got more. Morality is defined by the culture of those who control us, and I am going to argue that point with you. I am going to say that although it has been an axiom that we perhaps have accepted, morality doesn't change, just our integrity with it. So our morality doesn't change. What is moral and what is not moral? Those concrete things that we know right and wrong, right? You know, oh man, what is right? So those concrete things do not change, but our integrity with morality does. We are a fickle species. We are indeed. As we go to the into the break, talking about what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. America the Beautiful. How is it that we can make our American dream back into that American reality? Because I refuse to believe that it's a dangling, transparent carrot. It's just not. It's just not. And you know, if we can see it, we can be it. I mean, look at Star Trek. They got communicators. Guess what? So do we, right? If we can see it, we can be it. We just have to follow the plan. And that's all we need to do. We have a body of laws. We have a direction to go. We just got to follow the plan. And I did upload another little song here, and it's going to be by one of our favorites. I hope he doesn't mind me borrowing it. It's kind of like a standard tradition, like Happy Birthday. You can't really copyright it so much, but it is a cover. I am your host, Leandra Grace. We are still broadcasting live from the High Mountain Desert here on this MAGA Monday on That's a Room Network through Blog Talk Radio. We're talking about America the Beautiful, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And our recovery can be the recovery of our dream and making it into a reality. And let's listen to how it's said this way, and then we'll listen to a little bit more, and we'll be back. A little bit of a break this time, guys. Got to stretch my legs. On the other side.
Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grace, for purple mountain majesties. Grace on thee.
Definitely. God bless the USA and everybody in it, and God bless President Trump and strengthen him and give him that supernatural wisdom that pastor was talking about that prayed over him. You know, it must be a very humbling experience to have that many people praying over you and knowing that the nation, those who are praying, are praying. So what happened, guys? We still want to get back to that. Well, America the Beautiful. I am your host, Leander Grace. We are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. This is the last 30 minutes of the segment, guys. Feel free. We're going to open up the phone lines for those who want to come in and join us on the conversation. We are in the wrap-up portion. I still have more to say, but I can always say it at another time. I do want to hear what it is that you have to say. So, Flycatch, if you want to go ahead and dial in, you can. You can use your Skype or however it is that you want to. But feel free to call in. That call-in number, for those of you who are don't have it in the middle of the front of you, we're just going to put a whole new position on the table. It's 516-453-9966. That's 516-453-9966. Feel free to come on in, and then they'll talk to you through the prompts and all of that. And if you want to speak to the host, just hit the number one on your dial. It makes a little mark on my end that let me know that you want to talk rather than just hang out. Sometimes we have people just come on in and hang out. Unless they hit that number one, I'm going to leave them alone. So that's the way that goes. So tonight it's America the Beautiful. That's what it was like. Go to parks and do this and do that. You know, now they did have the bomb scares, the nuclear drills. So it started right after World War II that we started getting scared. We started being made afraid. Started being, well, I call it the little rascal syndrome. It's, you know, and you have to know a little bit. For those of you who are younger and millennial, you may not know this. May not be familiar with Little Rascals. Little Rascals was little kids. It was a series that was put on, and instead of doing cartoons, they just had the kids do the things that they have cartoons do now. And it was Little Rascal and the gang and Darla and all of the rest. But there was a scene where they needed to shoot to have one of the little rascals cry, and I think it was Spanky. I think it was the actor that played Spanky. And he couldn't do it. He couldn't cry, and he couldn't cry. And so it was the director, or the producer, one of the higher-ups came up and took the little boy aside, and he told him that they just got word from his mom and dad that his dog died. And he started crying. And they got the shot. And then they told him that his dog didn't really die. How's he supposed to feel? How's he supposed to feel? Because he went through a loss. He didn't get to recover from the loss until he found out he had a betrayal. And there was no resolution for the betrayal. It's a wonder he ever stopped crying. Little rascal syndrome. Make him cry. Tell him you're just kidding. And expect him to move on. No resolution, pushed forward in a society with that pain until the next one, and the next one, and the next one, just like a dysfunctional battery family. And there's no one to trust when the ones who are in authority are the ones pulling the wool over your eyes. And we got a WWG1WGA, where we go on, we go all. Absolutely, is inscribed on the bell of JFK's yacht. I love it. I love it. We'll just keep that for another program. But folks, this is what we're talking about. You know, people think that where we go all is just for a movement on the right and the patriots, and that's not what we're saying. We're saying we are all in this together. If you are a card-holding member of the human race, you're in this battle with us. It's a global thing. Remember, we brought it on the other programs. It is the intelligence agencies fighting each other, actually fighting us, working together and fighting us. Who's us? You, me, we, the people. and they're getting caught, and they're getting found out. And what we have to figure out in this nation is that our dog didn't die, but we have been betrayed. And I do believe in this generation, in the not too very soon time, not too very long time, we'll be able to see some resolution. And once that resolution comes through, we'll still need to heal as a nation. We'll still need to see where we made the mistakes that allowed ourselves to become in this position. Yes, to become in this position. Because I can't even define what it is we've become except confused. Everybody wants the rule of law when it justifies them, but they want to fight the law when it justifies somebody else that they might not like. They might not like their stance. We are one nation under God, guided by the Constitution, a set of rules. If we give that up, we might as well roll over. We might as well give up our weapons, because after all, what are we fighting for then? Because the Constitution and our way of life, I know that all the patriots that are listening to me, whether you're listening to live on social media or podcast, Pod People, we love you too. This we will defend. We will defend. And we will defend this for you, even if you can't see the picture. Even if you don't know what's going on around you, we will help. We'll help you see the truth of what's going on. We'll help you adjust to the picture. We'll hold your hand sometimes just over the airways and just talking to you. The picture might get uglier before it gets better. It may look like it's getting uglier if the mainstream media is telling you that it's getting uglier. But if you listen to the patriots and the people with the program, the people with the news, the ones who are citizen journalists and signed up for the gig, whether by accident or design, you know, we're in this. We'll help you. We'll give you the right information. Now, we may not make it sweet. We might not make it taste good. But we've all been under programming. We've all been subject to MK Ultra techniques, whether we know it or not. Going to the violent movies or the movies that expose us to bizarre situations is the same as putting ourselves through bizarre situations, because now we've exposed ourselves to a train of thought that this choo-choo wasn't supposed to go. And I like to reflect on it this way. There's a difference to me in reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John than going to see the movie Passion of the Christ. The difference is I'm only going to be exposed to as much violence as my mind can handle. But on a big screen, it's in my face. And I'm not designed that way. So I didn't make it through the movie, just to let you know. I got sick and walked out. I had to fight all the evangelicals that were trying to make me stay and give my life to Jesus. And if they knew who already had it, they'd be shocked. Right? They didn't think about the trauma that was going to be induced on people when they sat in that theater. I don't care what story they were telling. The only thing they told is the bloodiness. They didn't tell why. And in that, they get a demerit. Not that my demerits count, but it's a demerit. It was bloody, gory in the name of religion. And there wasn't anything holy about it. Money exchanged hands. That's enough. It was blood money. And I'm going to leave that till another program. We got some more in the chat room here. We got our military leaders are responsible. Well, yeah, we've got that. We've put that out before. You know, we want to make sure. And we've got their support. Because, yes, we were destined to become a third world nation. It was just a matter of time. And as we see now on the world, where are we at now? We are making progress. We're doing left and right. We're doing, you know, pumping it left and right, kicking out the product, raising the economy, getting people back to work. And what does the Federal Reserve do but come in and raise the rates to slow us down? Now it's not enough. We're going too fast. They're not going to be able to stop us. So what's going to happen with the Federal Reserve and the central banking? Central banking shall not hold. Central banking center will not hold. We talked about that on the other program, that it's designed to fail. It's designed cyclically. And they want to blame nations, but it's the system that they set up. So they're raising the rates so they try to make us crash. It's not going to happen. We're too big. We're too strong. And from what I understand is that we're not the only nation that's going to be pulling away from central banking. And when we pull away from central banking, we will be constitutional in our own right. Because what has happened is just as we were able, you know, willing or have been talked into or convinced that it was okay, it's the way we do things, to send our children off for somebody else to take care of, some system to put on a conveyor belt. Yes, I'm being harsh. My degree was special education. That's what I went to school for. I'm not real impressed. So we have them on the conveyor belt, and when they get out, they're saying, now what am I supposed to do? Now you're supposed to go to school again. Really? Really? You know, there was a time when not everybody had to go to college because there were jobs that were just as good a paying as college. In fact, sometimes the industry jobs were better paying than the college jobs. So what is it like now? We're in debt up to our eyeballs, and that's the way the central bank likes it. That's the way they like it. I want to talk about our health care. The ones on the left think they have a great big idea, more candy, more candy, more candy, more candy. Free health care, free college, free this, free that. I want to share with you a post, and we got plenty of time to do it. I want to share with you a post on one of my social medias. I do not know who put it up there. It is hilarious to me. Halloween is coming up, and they had something to say. And let me see if I can find it. I got to clear my throat. Yeah, it was about Halloween, pardon me. And this poster says, I don't have a lot of time for Halloween decorations this year, so I'm just putting up a scary banner that says Nancy Pelosi for speaker. And then he goes on and he says, for the socialist kids that do approach my door, I'm leaving an empty bucket that says deposit 90% of your candy here. That's how they're going to get you free health care. By getting your money. And we've got some more in the chat room. We got the plumber gets $180 just to install a kitchen faucet, right? That's a VOTEC job. Now, they may have gone to college, but that's a VOTEC job. Not that it's a lesser education, but it's a different education. And they put business in there. Yeah, and we've got this love affair. Exactly. Thank you, Flycatch, for reminding me. You know, many times we're reminded that it's Russia, Russia, Russia. So look over at Russia. Look at Russia. Look at Russia. Look at Russia. But not one time did anybody say, look at China. I wonder why. Look here. Don't look there. Look here. Danger, danger, the sky is falling. Help me, Will Robinson. You know, all of the stuff. But don't look here. No, that's fine. That's fine. I'm going to say thank God Trump looked there. Because just as we got in the chat room, as Flycatch puts out, China and the Clintons started in the mid-80s. And I'm going to venture to say that I think it was a handoff from when Nixon went to Washington, Flycatch. I think that it actually began there. And then once they, you know, Nixon wasn't going to do what they wanted, they got him out of office by framing him. Yeah, that was a successful all the way up there. I think that's when it is. They got the set-upper, the one who set it up, went there out of the way. And then it was a matter of everything else from there. Remember, in my day, things were not made in China. Things were made in Taiwan. Things would come over made in Japan. Things would come over made in Taiwan. We didn't get things made in China. And then slowly but surely, after Nixon went to China, we started getting things made in China. And then labeled differently, People's Republic of this, and then all kinds of different tags went through. So understand that one of the ways that corporations continue with their wealth is to change and octopus out or contract in and all of that. And it's not going to be any different on the world stage. It's the same. You know, they contract in and expand out, contract in and expand out, gather the wealth, expand out, gather the wealth, expand out. And it looks like everybody else gets bankrupt. That's what it looks like. It looks like housing markets crashing is what it looks like. It looks like Enron going belly up is what it looks like, because Enron went belly up on purpose. Now, there's a lie out there about our medical system where Bernie Sanders wants to give everybody free health care, and it's only going to cost us $32 trillion over the blah, 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 blah. That's where the 90% of your candy gets deposited here. When, in fact, the only purpose that a universal health care system would serve is to break our country's bank. What little bank that we've got, it would put us in a state of absolute unrecoverable debt. I mean, $20 trillion, is it not enough? Let's talk about that. Now, evidently, we've recouped $11 trillion of our wealth, as per the president. But how much is that? And it was put to me this way. If we think in terms of seconds, a million seconds is 12 days. I borrow $20 from you, I'll pay you in a million seconds. You say 12 days, yeah, I can live with that. And then you say something like, well, you know what, it's going to have to be a billion seconds, right? A billion seconds. You get out the calculator, you do the math, you find out that's 32 years. That's a long time. That's a big difference. Huge. And then when we look at the trillion category, we go not from 32 years, but we go up to 32,000 years, which is longer than the Earth's been. You know, I don't want to hear all this evolution stuff. We'll cover you on another program. Longer than the Earth's been with us. 32,000 years is a trillion seconds. It's not a qualitative difference, a quantitative difference. It's a qualitative difference. You know, most of us, we don't even can't even fathom $1 trillion. It's not just a number. It's a real debt. And it's huge already. And we want to put us in another 38,000 times 32. That's a lot, a debt. It's not just a credit card. That is our land. That's our property. That's like mortgaging everything you've got for some cold medicine. And to me, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. For those who need help, it can be provided, and for those who can pay, they should. Scripturally, we are required. Orphans, women, orphans, widows, and the poor and sick. And the widows should be widows indeed. We have guidelines to keep us from compromising our integrity because we're emotional. If we don't follow our rules, if we don't follow our policy, we don't have a policy. Everybody in business knows that. If you've never followed this policy, you can't enforce it. If everyone else has been able to break this policy, can't enforce it. If you start enforcing that policy, you have to completely enforce that policy from here forward. Otherwise, you don't have a policy. Not that you can legally enforce. It is no different than the law of our land. It is no different than our Constitution. We have a right to free speech. That means I have the right to say some ugly things to you. I don't have a right to get into your face and scream at you and block the doorway. And I don't have a right to stalk you to where you feel uncomfortable. I don't have a right for me and my friends to surround you and yell crap and spit at you and hit you. And yet are we making compromises in our integrity by okaying Antifa? I saw a sweet video today. It was not easy to look at, but Antifa was being Antifa, and the Portland police were finally given the go-ahead, and they swept them. And it did not look fun for the Antifa. Those brown shirts that represent pre-Nazi behavior. They're not on the right. We don't want anything to do with them. Soros paid them. Go talk to Soros. That's who we need. So we've got, yeah, we got corporations behave in a manner of swarm of locusts, Flycatch adds to the chat room. I like what you're adding to the chat room here, Flycatch. I like that. Yeah, they're behaving like a swarm of locusts, but I think that the locust that you're referring to is actually something else. Because the locusts, well, the locusts, these locusts have a king. And we'll take care of that. If you want to come back on Faithful Friday, where we have the Patience of the Saints, we're talking about the harlots in the house and the thief is at the door. For those of you who are familiar with Scripture, you might know what those idioms are. The message of the whole series is come out of her, my people, and come away from the tents. We'll take care of that Friday when we start talking about the covenants, the times and the seasons. On Holistic Truth, we still have to be announced, folks. I still don't know what the title is. I know what we're going to talk about. I don't know what we'll focus on. But it's going to be good. I just know it's going to be good, especially Flycatch comes up with me and joins me in the chat room and adds some good stuff. It's been a broadcast this evening. It's, it had to be PG-13 because of the content that we were talking about. It's not suitable for young ears. It was not ever my intention at any point to insult anybody except for maybe Hillary Clinton and Pocahontas. And I say those things because they've insulted our intelligence for a very long time, and then because we think we like them, someone to give them a pass or give them an argument, or they just stand out of this argument and let everybody else duke it out and decide what side is going to win. People, we've got to stop doing that. We know right from wrong in this country. We know right from wrong. We know what's right. But we keep looking for excuses and reasons and the go-ahead to do and permission to do what we know we shouldn't. And it's not that we are by nature greedy in this nation or totally self-centered, although we've been taught to be self-centered. We've become confused. We can't believe two things at once. We can't believe that Hillary is a backer of women and a protector of a rapist. We have it all. And it's TikTok. The time is short. They will try to scorch the earth. They will try to scorch the earth. We have to be ready for that and see things as they are. This is what the deep state keeps saying to the United States and to our president.
Shall we play a game?
That's what they're saying. Over and over and over again.
Shall we play a game?
And this is the response we want to give.
How about a nice game of chess?
It's the only response. Because in all the other games, no one wins. And we like to win. We like to win. But I like it when everybody wins. And if we can get away from, not just as a nation, but as individual nations, pull away from the central bank and understand that the central bank and its many tentacles of the deep state is not going to like it. They're going to challenge it. They're going to try to get you to start fighting everything. They want you to lose your mind. They want you on edge. They want you afraid and unprepared. But I think we're smarter than that. As a nation and as individuals, I just think we're smarter than that. And I think if we can keep talking to each other, I see the link. If we can keep talking to each other, I'm keeping it to myself. Those who are on the webpage and those who are watching it can see the chat room just fine. They can see that. We got to keep moving forward. We've got to drain the swamp. We've got to throw out the creatures. And those who have committed crimes, we need to hold them accountable. And we have to put on a big patriot pants to do it. It is never easy to hold the people that we think we like accountable. It is not fun And it's only worth celebrating after we recover from the trauma. Because those who will be revealed, it will be traumatic for some. And we have to remember that, Patriots. We've got to be there for each other. You know, I'm on social media. I see a lot of poking and prodding on each other. I see a lot of poking here and prodding there. But I also see a lot of support. Each side is defensive. But I want to tell you, this is the one time where the story goes like this. Everyone around him is naked, but the emperor has clothes. The emperor has clothes. But the others are about to get naked. We have to show you what we're seeing. Not everything. Not everything's for everyone. But you will know enough. Because just like I think it is an offense to people's sensibilities to market a gore flick in the name of Christianity, it is also grotesque to air grotesqueness of others just to prove a point, when a legal argument will do it. Right, Flycatch. We've got, remember what happened to Reagan and Kennedy. I'll put that out there and I'll leave that as his statement. And I'll put that where it goes. We'll be talking about that actually on Wednesday night, Flycatch. We're going to bring that up. We're going to have some audio to play. We're going to put it together. And I'm pretty sure that going forward, if we as a nation and as individuals maintain our integrity, our moral integrity, remembering that we do know right from wrong, to separate, as we said in the other broadcast, principles before personalities, apply the rule of law judiciously and without favoritism, as difficult as it may be for us. That's part of the way that we're going to start making this American dream a reality. Because I want to tell you what I've been seeing, the Crematory, real quick, coming to the end of the broadcast. What I see is that we have continuously been trying, doing our parts to make America great, to do all that we can. We keep getting hit. Just when we start getting our head above water, we get smashed. There is nothing natural about that cycle. Nothing. So how do we do it? Step by step, making the dream a reality, refusing to compromise our own integrity, standing for the flag, participating in the pledge, understanding what it is to be a patriot. And then when the battle's over, we can put it down and go back to our workaday lives. I am your host, Leanda Grace. It's been my pleasure to bring you this podcast on Monday morning, Mega Monday. This is morning for some, I'm sure that it is. For those of you listening live and broadcast pod people, we love you too. That's just kind of where I'm going to leave it tonight. I'm going to thank you for joining, and thank you for joining us in the chat room, Flycatch. I can chat a little bit after the broadcast with you. But I am reminding you, until next time, as always, to watch for the signposts. Connect these dots. Find the path. Live in love. And learn how to forgive. And awaken that sleeping commitment. Until next week, and until Wednesday, good night.
Did you hear the news? Metro PCS is now Metro by T-Mobile. Now you get new plans with unlimited high-speed data all month long, all on the T-Mobile network. Check out the new Metro by T-Mobile today and discover the smarter way to get unlimited. Metro by T-Mobile. That's genius. During congestion, the fraction of customers using greater than 35 gigs per month may notice reduced speeds. And Metro customers may notice reduced speeds versus some T-Mobile customers. Video streams at 480p. Coverage not available in some areas. See store for details and terms and conditions.